October 11th, 1775. A bracing, brisk, and misty autumnal morning. Young Alexander Edward was atop the crow's nest of the whaling ship, the Herald. As Alexander looked out across the still and mild sea, he kept his eyes sharp for a pack of whales or schools of dancing fish. After months at sea, the crew of the Herald were growing restless, excited for one last catch and then a swift sail home. No one wanted to be in these waters as winter approached. As Alexander scanned the horizon, his practiced eyes cut through the mist and fog and saw a ghostly outline of a ship. He sounded an excited alarm, a fellow ship. After months of solitude, the crew raced the Herald northwest to catch the distant schooner. The cool air now felt refreshing as Alexander grabbed a length of the traveler and helped hoist the jib upward with great momentum. The Herald sliced through the black, even water and came alongside the schooner on its starboard side. The crew of the Herald expected to be greeted by a group of equally excited and curious sailors. However, the deck of this ship was empty. The Herald's captain, a grave and judicious man, clad in dark wool, with salty gray hair and seawater blue eyes, came to the starboard side and looked out at the silent vessel with measured incredulity.
"Drop the anchors and prepare to board,"
the captain ordered. Young Alexander began to prepare the ropes that would connect the Herald to its silent counterpart. A small group of sailors readied themselves to board the ghost ship. Alexander claimed that since he had spotted the ship, he should be allowed to investigate. Amused by his tenacity, the captain agreed, thrusting a lamp into Alexander's hands and directed him to lead the way. As soon as Alexander's boots fell upon the dark oak planks of the deck, he felt a cold overcome him from his toes, up his spine, and flood his head. He wasn't alone in this feeling of uneasiness. The entire search party were silent as they took tentative steps towards the center of the schooner. As the crew of the Herald descended into the heart of the ship, they were plunged into darkness. After flooding the room with soft yellow light, Alexander froze. He expected to find an empty saloon, but there, in the soft glow, stood 20 or more sailors staring straight at him. Some were sat, some were standing, some were huddled up, and others were resigned to a corner alone. But all were perfectly still, eyes open, mouths gaping. The captain pushed past Alexander and insisted that the rest of the crew return to the Herald. As young Alexander turned, the captain put a hand on his shoulder and said,
"This was your find. Now let's find out what happened."
Swallowing hard, Alexander followed the captain deeper into the saloon. He counted 28 frozen sailors, perfectly preserved, like waxen figures dusted with ice. As they moved towards the bow of the ship, they came across the captain, sat at his desk, a single moment in time, perfectly preserved. An older man with dark hair and a thick beard sat hunched over his ship's log, his pen delicately poised between his fingers. Next to the captain was a young sailor who looked remarkably like young Alexander. He was huddled next to the desk, tinderbox in hand, perhaps making a last effort to heat the now frozen graveyard. Yet as Alexander took a final step forward, the most grisly sight of all was uncovered. Under a heavy tartan blanket sat a woman with a young boy frozen in her embrace. Alexander turned abruptly, feeling ill and disoriented. The Herald's captain steadied the boy and then went over to the captain's desk. Carefully, he dislodged the frozen ship's log, laid a hand on the dead captain's shoulder, and said a silent prayer. Once back on deck, the captain told the crew it was time to return to the Herald. One sailor suggested they take some supplies back with them. The crew wouldn't be needing it now. But the captain howled in rage. The ship was to be left alone. Nothing was to come off this cursed vessel. That night, in the safety and warmth of the Herald, the crew talked at length about the day's adventures. But the captain was quartered away in his stateroom, poring over the last accounts of the schooner, Octavius. Legend has it that the Octavius, a three-masted schooner, was making its return journey from the Orient back to England in 1761. The captain had decided to try to traverse the Northwest Passage. However, the ship became trapped in thick layers of sea ice north of Alaska and was never seen again. That is, until the Herald discovered it 13 years later. After the Herald cut its ropes and sailed away from the Octavius, she was left to continue her ghostly journey. Perhaps she ran aground and sank. Maybe she once again became locked in a prison of ice. Or perhaps she's still out there today, sailing with her perfectly preserved crew, drifting silently towards an ever-expanding horizon. It's Becca. For the past 3 years, the West London Witch team have been dedicated to bringing you the best supernatural stories at the highest studio quality. And by team, I mean me and my buddy Danny. We do this work totally for free because we love it. We're proud of our content and appreciate the wonderful interactions we get to have with storytellers and listeners just like yourself. If you're enjoying the West London Witch, maybe consider joining our Patreon. It's a way to further engage with us and show your support for Two Creatives. If you're in a position to spare enough each month for us to grab a cup of coffee in between edits or add to the piggy bank for a new microphone, we would love to see you in our Patreon community. But I know times are tough, so if you're not in a position to join Patreon right now, that's okay. We aren't going anywhere. Head on over to patreon.com/The West London Witch. For as little as £1, $1, €1 a month, you can gain full access to our coven, a space where we share behind-the-scenes stories, dive deeper into each episode, answer your questions, and have special little treats to thank you for sharing your love and kindness with your favorite little witch. Hello, and welcome to episode 61 of The West London Witch, a podcast where we share stories about those moments where we find ourselves very much not alone. As most of you longtime listeners probably know by now, I love a haunted ship. The atmosphere, the energy, the environment of ship life is so unique that when you mix ghosts into the equation, you are left with a truly fascinating situation. Today, we are heading back to my homeland, California, to a U.S. Navy ship resting in her now permanent mooring in Alameda, near San Francisco. The USS Hornet was once an aircraft carrier that was famous for her extremely active role in World War II. Now decommissioned, the Hornet serves as a sea, air, and space museum, offering tours, displaying collections, and educating the public about the history of the Hornet and the U.S. Navy. Although the ship is no longer in active service, it does not mean that she is at rest. The USS Hornet is reported to be one of the most haunted ships in all of the world, still bustling with activity from former sailors, captains, and admirals. Today, Faye, the events manager of the Hornet, and fellow paranormal investigator Steve will take us through the history and haunts of the Hornet. The USS Hornet is over 893 feet long, 120 feet wide, and has a colossal displacement of over 33,100 tons. Needless to say, we have a lot of ship to explore. I'm Rebecca Strazina, and this is The West London Witch, Episode 61, A Haunting on the Hornet. Built in 1942-1943, the USS Hornet is an Essex-class aircraft carrier that has a long and illustrious history. She not only was an integral part in World War II, the Korean and Vietnam War, but she also played a vital role in the U.S. space program. In 1969, on a hot July afternoon, the Hornet successfully retrieved the Apollo 11 astronauts after their mission to the moon. This historic ship has been a stalwart to the U.S. Navy since its creation. But being a working vessel for so long and in such treacherous conditions means that the Hornet is no stranger to tragedy. It's said that over 300 souls have been lost aboard the ship. Of course, some of these deaths have been due to illness and injury, but some deaths have been a lot more gruesome. It's been reported that three men have been decapitated on the Hornet by faulty cables snapping and recoiling across the berth of the ship. Aircraft exhaust has been said to catapult sailors overboard, while others have accidentally been caught up in aircraft spinning props and pulled into the air intake valves on aircrafts. It was a dangerous place to work, so it's no wonder that accidents happened on the job. However, echoes of former sailors are still very much alive on the ship today.
You'll hear walking around, footsteps, shuffling. I've experienced different smells. Sometimes you'll smell cologne in a passageway that it's something I remember as a kid because something my dad wore, or different smells, cigars, cigarettes, maybe like a pipe or something like that. Not sure if it's that or whatever have you.
This is Steve, a paranormal investigator and a volunteer on the USS Hornet.
People have experienced just being touched. One of the first things that had happened to me when I had just started volunteering on the ship was I was in this one area and I was restoring it and I was washing off some tools. So I'm at a deep sink, just washing everything off, and didn't hear anything, didn't see anything, but I could feel somebody's hand reach out and just sort of like a parent would or an adult would grab onto your shoulder and just give it a squeeze. You can feel all the fingers. I turn around thinking it's somebody's messing with me, and there's nobody there. No sounds, no nothing. I'm looking around for somebody. They can't get through the door that I came in because if you go to open it, you're going to hear it creak and make a scratching sound because it's metal on metal. And I'm looking around, and every place I could find in there, and there's nothing in there. And that was one of the first experiences I had ever had on the ship, not knowing really that it was haunted, or that there were even spirits there for that matter. And it's kind of like, well, I guess it wasn't somebody living.
Steve may have had that experience alone, But what's incredible about the Hornet is that a lot of the activity is witnessed by multiple people at one time. Like this experience that both Faye and Steve can attest to.
Well, I mean, we've witnessed a couple of times doors being closed when we were in tour groups. We had one before COVID. We went into Radio Central, so it had multiple little rooms, and we would always take people towards the back. And that was the most top secret area. I mean, when it was functioning, you had to have clearance to go back there, plus a combination and key to get in that door.
So the room itself, or the area, was used for communications from ship to ship. So anything that communications came in would come through there.
So when we took the group in there, usually in the past, a lot of people would just close the door. Well, we left it open. And typically, when it was in service, the door was always closed. And we left it open. And Steve was sitting on the edge of the desk that the door kind of leaned towards, or it was close to being open. And I was on the floor near that opening. And we had, you know, a small group of people. One lady was using a phone app and stuff, and they're asking questions. And she said, oh, the app says close. And all of a sudden, the door just starts closing. And I'm just like trying to wrap my brain. I'm like, no. And I put my hand out to stop it from closing. And I'm feeling a force of it trying to push against my hand, like it's getting closed. And Steve,
I'm on the other side of the door trying to hold it from closing. And I can feel something pulling it. So whatever it was, we're both doing opposite, so it's not going to move, but something's actually closing it. We both let go of the door, and it closed, and which was interesting. And later we went back just to even try to grasp what actually happened. And you open the door. None of us were moving at that point, and the ship is sort of central, so there is no airflow. There's nothing really going on. So we played with the door for probably about 5 minutes, seeing if we put it in different spots, would it close by itself? And nothing. It was sheer amazing, just the fact that the one lady's apps had closed and then the door started closing.
And the fact that we were both feeling the pressure, that door was getting closed, no matter what we were doing to prevent it from closing.
Another hot spot for activity on the Hornet is the ship's sick bay.
People tend to think like the hospital sick bay is a hot spot. It has its moments. We usually encourage our guests to lay on the bunks and just be quiet. If you're laying down, sometimes you can actually feel like someone's coming over and helping, like, do something with your arm or your leg, like trying to wrap it or whatever. They're just trying to aid them in whatever way. And in the hospital, there's a lot of times you'll hear footsteps. There's this blue door or blue wood on what they was the bathroom. So it's boarded up. And there's a lot of times if you're really quiet, you can hear shuffling around in there, banging and stuff, like somebody's in there doing something. It's the only way in and out of that space. And it's boarded shut. I mean, you got to undo like 6 screws to open that door. So it's really interesting that you can hear so much activity in that space and no one can get in there. But there was one time I was in there, we were in there investigating, and I thought, let's go sit on this other side of the thing. We're just sitting there, and I had different equipment set up trying to get them to interact with us, and nothing was happening. But you can see, normally there's a couple exit red signs where you see the glow, the red, in the space, and all of a sudden it just was getting blocked out by like this gray mist and stuff. And I don't know if Stephen really noticed that or anything. I mean, I was talking about why is the light kind of disappearing at the moment? And I was like trying not to show how uncomfortable I was with it because it was slowly kind of advancing towards us.
Certain things you try to ignore, and they're hard to ignore, like when a passageway or a room's getting darker and darker. But I find if you close your eyes, it all goes away. And so Faye was sitting there watching all this, and I was watching it also. And you just sort of relax and just let it go, and hopefully it goes away. But this time it didn't.
Yeah, it just kept advancing, and I was starting to get uncomfortable because nothing else was going. You know, they weren't messing with any of the gear. And I just like, well, I guess you guys are just tired tonight and really want to be left alone. So we're just going to turn in for the night. So don't follow us to our staterooms. We'll say goodnight. Thank you for, you know, if you did try to communicate. And I couldn't get out of there any fast enough. It was just an uncomfortable. I think a lot of it, when I respect the energy I feel in all of these different spaces, like sometimes they just don't want to be bothered. So I try to respect that and just like, okay, I'm out of your way. Good night.
Yes. So needless to say, we exited that space fairly quickly.
On a subsequent investigation, Steve decided to try his hand at an experiment to see if he could call the spirits forth to him.
I was told at one point to just call out to the nurse that was on duty and he'd come over and check you. And so I said, hey, said, I'm having some problems with my right leg. Said, there's a lot of pain there. Can somebody come over and check it out? And I'm just sort of thinking, okay, yeah, I was told to say this is something really going to happen. And then as I look down, I can actually feel something on my right leg. And you can see an indentation on my sweats where something's pressing down, or where it was pressing down, I could actually feel the sensation of something touching my leg.
This is an incredible interaction because it's intelligent. The spirit actually did as Steve asked. Another confirmation of intelligent spirits on board is this fabulous EVP of someone calling Faye's name right outside of the sick bay.
That's sick bay right there. I know, that's what I'm like. Faye.
It's not just sick bay that's spirited. And it's not just disembodied voices and touches that people experience on the Hornet. The activity here is really diverse.
It was during COVID, and so we're on the ship and we're replacing the sheets on some of the beds that the sailors slept in because they use those for liveaboards and stuff like that. So I'm putting the sheets on and it's a three bunk high, and I'm looking at some of the other ones because we're about ready to do those. And I'm looking through and I see this, the top half of a person just sort of moving by. And I look down and you can see between the other two bunks and there was nothing there. And I look back up and it's gone. And I think for me, that was probably the hardest thing to actually swallow because it wasn't a full body. It was just the half of a person going by. And you're trying to just wrap your brain around what just happened at this point. Why were there no legs? Why was there no rest of the torso or anything like that? You didn't hear anything, just this half of a torso and head float by.
On this occasion, Steve may have only had seen a half of an apparition, but the Hornet is known to be home to many full-bodied apparitions, walking the halls, turning around the corners, walking past people as though they don't even know they're there. And this wouldn't be Steve's last experience seeing something completely unexplainable on the ship.
One of the other experiences was we were up in, there used to be offices up on the O1 level, which is one deck above the hangar bay. And we call it the crow's nest. It's now our break room. So you've got two sets of tables and chairs that are sitting in there. And it was Faye, myself, and my daughter again. And we're in there and we're going through some audio that Faye had and just saying, hey, what can you hear out of this? And as we're sitting there at this one table, I hear from behind me, I'm here. Just it's clear as me talking. And I hear this, I'm right here. And my daughter and I go, oh, wow, that sounds really good. I can hear that. And Faye looks up at us. She goes, I'm not playing anything right now. And so, yeah, we look at each other. It's kind of like, what? And it's coming from behind me. So I turn my chair around. Megan's on the opposite side of the table facing the door. There's two doors right there. And we both look over and you can see a sailor standing there. And so that was the first time I'd ever seen an apparition. And it's like looking at an 80% of a person to where you can see 80% of them, that 20% is translucent. So you can see color and everything of them. And what was odd is I had no idea what the sailors wore back then. I'm going off of what you see in the movies and everything. And it was in these big baggy jeans and a blue denim shirt. So I'm seeing this going, oh, that's kind of cool. And then you realize what you just saw and you look back again and it's gone.
One of the best parts of the USS Hornet is that you can go on history mystery tours through the ship. These are guided tours with experienced docents like Faye and Steve, and they can tell you all about the history of the ship. And sometimes you get a little bit more than you paid for.
We've had people that are kind of nervous and not sure what to deal with, and I'm always reassuring them how the spirits that are there are friendly. You know, I've always explaining about like, they're on like spiritual protection in a way, you know, just kind of describe whether you like when you get nervous, you know, we always explain if you feel nervous in a way that you want to step out of that space, let us know. We'll take you out of that space because we want you to be comfortable. I go, I wouldn't be touring people around if there was any spirits that were, you know, not behaving in any way. So we just reassure them. We explain how it is. And obviously the one thing we always tell them when the tour is over to thank the spirits for communicating, but communication ends now and you're not allowed to go home with me. So it's just, and we explain to them when it's a ship sound, we will tell them it's a ship sound. You know, I tell them I'd rather them not have a true experience and tell them it's a ship sound instead of having them leave and me not saying anything and then finding it out after the fact, then it ruins the whole experience. Because things do happen. When you're right with the right group and they start to get comfortable and start to open up, they do. I've even helped skeptics turn into believers after a tour.
And that's one of the best parts of the job. Because the Hornet is such an exciting place, because it's so spirited, it has actually converted some people to believing in the other side.
Yeah, one of the couples that was on one of the tours, she was a big believer and her husband had given her that as a birthday present to go on this tour. And he was good about it, didn't say much of anything. And we'd gone into this one area that we call the Geedunk, which originally was a concession area where you could get like popcorn, candy, you could get whatever you wanted there. So we're sitting at the smaller tables. It'll seat like small four people with these, the check tablecloths on it. And he looks up at me and he goes, you really believe this stuff, don't you? And I go, yeah. And he said, well, can you make me a believer? And I go, I can't make you believe anything. And I said, why don't we try this? And we had these small boards with pendulums. So and they had numbers and letters on it. And so I asked him, I said, what do you want me to ask? He goes, ask him what my wife's middle name is. I'm going, okay, I mean, I've got no clue what that would be. So I put the pendulum on and I said, can you tell me what her middle name is? And it moves to yes. So you see the pendulum just swing to the yes mark. So as it starts spelling out her name, her middle name, his eyes are getting bigger and bigger. And when it gets to the last one, he goes, oh no, I'm done with this. She goes, this is it. Because it was her middle name and there's no way I'd know it.
A seriously active location on the Hornet that you can only access through a special tour is the Captain and Admiral's quarters.
We've had so many different experiences in there. Myself, I've had seen quite a bit when we set up our equipment, whether with our private, you know, with our own cells as we go up there and investigate on occasion with other crew members, or when we have a touring group up there, we'll set up a lot of our equipment. The things that spirits on the ship seem to enjoy is using the flashlights. We have like some little cat, light up cat toys. We have the music box that we tend to just name the creepometer because of the music that plays on it. It gets creepy in the dark. But we'll set them up. You know, the Admiral's quarters is the conference room has this really large, table in the center of it, and it's got chairs all the way around it. But we'll set the chairs off to the side so we can look down the passageway, which goes, you know, past the galley, and they have a battle dressing station off to the right of this passageway. And you look down there because the only light you see is just what's there in the space. It's inside the ship, so you don't have outside light coming in. So it gets pretty dark as we have the equipment set up. We'll have the, I like setting up the music box facing down the passageway because you can see that no one's setting it off, but it's motion activated. So occasionally that thing just starts just playing forever, like someone's just directly standing in front of it. So that tends to really get guests on a tour really kind of amped up and excited because they're looking with their flashlight, they're seeing nobody down there, and this little sucker is just going off a mile a minute. I did have one pretty cool experience that was kind of eerie in a way. We took his daughter up on a private tour, and we were up there, and his daughter and I were facing the passageway, just looking down, looking, because you occasionally see shadow figures walking back and forth in the passageway. And that was the one thing we were watching for. And I was kind of telling her all kinds of things, and she was asking me a lot of questions. But from the battle dressing station, I kept seeing what looked like somebody was peeking out, a shadow of a figure just peeking out and putting its arms around the door frame, looking out. And I'm like, is my eyes playing tricks on me? So I took my flashlight, went down there because there's electrical boxes around the area. So I was like, is it my eyes just making those kind of distort in a way that it looks like it's somebody looking out and it's actually just, you know, electrical boxes. But when I went down to that space, that was past what I was seeing. It was past the door. So it wasn't the motion and the image I was seeing. So we were sitting there. She was asking me questions. And all of a sudden, I saw, you know, these hands come out from the door frame, the head peek out, and then this shadow figure just kind of scurried across the floor. Like, it just, like, melted like, a cartoon or something, just scurried across the floor. And I just, like, I shut up.
This was obviously an incredible experience for Faye. Eerie, bizarre, and even a bit unsettling. Faye didn't say anything to Steve's daughter because it was her first investigation. She didn't want to scare her. She had never seen anything like this on the Hornet and wasn't quite sure what she had witnessed. But it only got more interesting as Steve and his daughter headed home that evening because Faye wasn't the only one to see this shadow.
We're on our way home and my daughter goes, Dad, when we were up in Admiral, she goes, I saw something up there. And I go, what did you see? She said, well, I'm not quite sure what it was, but it peeked out a few times and it was like looking at us. And then it put its hands on the doorway and like peeked out a few times. And I said, okay. And I go, well, was that it? And she goes, no. And then it just like face it. It just scurried across the floor. And she goes, I don't know what it was. It just was really weird. She goes, I wasn't afraid of it, but it surprised me. And she said, I have no idea what it was. And I go, well, did Faye see it? She goes, oh yeah, she saw it. And I go, well, how do you know she saw it? And she goes, well, she actually stopped talking. And Faye has a tendency to like to talk and explain stuff, which is great because it really helps stuff out. But she said, you could just see this thing scurry across the floor and just disappear into the passageway behind it.
Because the ghosts of the Hornet are so intelligent and so willing to interact, I had to ask the question, do these crew members know that they are dead?
I typically don't ask that question, but we did have a group once was asking that, didn't get a response. And then I just asked, I go, do you think we're the ghost? Do you think we're the ones that are dead? And the response was yes.
It's pretty clear that the former crew are still roaming the halls of the Hornet. And Faye and Steve have a really solid theory as to why.
I just feel that the ship's a happy place. And, you know, if there's still any crew members still around, there's that brotherhood. I mean, you know, anybody that is fighting the war. I know when my grandfather was still alive, he, with his air group, would travel all over to meet up once a year. So there's a certain brotherhood you have when you fight together. So that's what I feel a lot of it is. They're there because it's a happy place. It's part of a time that probably brought in, even though under a lot of stress and fright, you know, there was still that love that you had for one another. But then again, you know, we get other spirits. So I just feel the ship, it's highly decorated. It's a happy place. Everybody I've ever met just falls in love with her. I mean, I have no, the first time I stepped on board, I fell in love with the ship and I can't explain it. I just love the ship.
it's a cool museum. I mean, you've got a lot of memorabilia there, a lot of the aircraft there. Some of those aircraft types flew off of the ship, and people want to come see it. That's their excitement there. There's a lot of energy from the people that are coming, and it sort of stays. And the spirits are able to draw off of that, and some of the spirits come with the guests.
Today, the USS Hornet is a National Historic Landmark and a California Historic Landmark. You can visit the museum yourself, and when you do, make sure you say hi to the ghosts for me. If you'd like to check out more of Faye and Steve's work, head on over to the Angels of Light Paranormal Society Facebook page. And then make your way over to the West London Witch Facebook and Instagram to see photos of the incredible USS Hornet. Do you have a spooky story you'd like to share? I'd love to hear it. Drop me an email at thewestlondonwitch@gmail.com or find us on Instagram and Facebook at thewestlondonwitch. If you enjoyed today's episode, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. And come and follow us for additional content on Instagram and Facebook. Until next time, merry meet, merry part, and merry meet again. The West London Witch is created by me, Rebecca Strazina. Our sound designer and production magician is the incredible Danny Cross. Our theme music was bespokely written and performed by the wickedly talented Kyle Hall. Our cover art is the beautiful collaboration between Lizzie Wilson and Jake Bowser. Special thanks to Miss Sinead Bowers, our quality control and biggest cheerleader. And thank you to you, all of our listeners all over the world. These are your stories. Thank you for sharing them with us.